We have talked about preventing food waste at home and repurposing excess food. But what about all the resources we humans use to grow food to begin with? That is something chef Anthony Meant was definitely not thinking about in 2010. That is when he launched Mission Chinese Food, the now famous restaurant known for its delicious food and fun atmosphere.
Mission Chinese Food was kind of like a party Chinese restaurant, and we were trying to offer like really affordable and craveable and tasty food.
And making that happen was really stressful.
Orders are coming in. Oh, we ran out of this ingredient for this dish last night. Nobody told me. Somebody is hungover. They're calling in sick. The dishwasher's not coming. Who's going to do that? Nobody's eating on the patio. You know, how are we going to make payroll this month? Oh, the refrigerator's not working. You know, oh, this, like, you're constantly just putting out fires and trying to get through that day.
But then Anthony and his wife had a baby. And they were taking pains to feed her sustainable organic food, food that was good for her and the planet. And this got him wondering about the food he was serving in his restaurant and how he was contributing to climate change there.
It wasn't like we were, you know, a farm-to-table restaurant, but it's because the restaurant industry is the biggest part of the food economy. And so it just started to feel like this huge part of the economy needs to be working on climate. You know, let's think about 20 years ahead instead of like 2 hours or 2 weeks ahead.
So in 2016, Anthony and his wife, Karen Leibowitz, made a big bet. They put their life savings into a new restaurant called The Perennial. The idea was to run a fully sustainable, no-waste restaurant and only cook with environmentally friendly ingredients. Not an easy task.
Yeah, so when we started The Perennial, we were basically just using it as a laboratory to explore all the different practices that a restaurant could engage in.
For example, The Perennial, true to its name, sourced long-living perennial grains to make their sourdough bread.
You know, we composted the menus and fed them to worms.
Beef came from an experimental low-carbon cattle ranch.
We were using the food scraps to grow black soldier fly larvae and then feed that to fish to kind of create this closed loop.
And they only bought from farms practicing regenerative farming, using less extractive practices.
Applying compost instead of fertilizer, planting cover crops, and reducing tillage to kind of leave the soil covered.
The Perennial got great reviews, and Anthony became known as the sustainability guy in the restaurant industry. But after 3 years, Anthony and Karen realized that even if hundreds of restaurants also became strictly sustainable, they still would barely be supporting these farmers.
We started talking to farmers and ranchers and asking them just honest questions, you know, over a beer. Hey, I just paid my invoice. Does that help you do the next thing, this or that? And the answer was like, no. You know, one rancher told me, like, I'm not driving a Maserati around. You know, like, I'm seeking government grants. But when you buy my product and pay your invoice, you're just buying my product. You know, there's not an extra $100,000 in there for me to change farming. I mean, the whole organic movement is just 1% of acres after 50 years in the U.S. Learning this was a little bit soul-crushing, to be honest.
Here's Anthony Meant from the TED stage.
Because we had gone all in with our life savings, you know, trying to make this change happen, only to learn that awareness, price premiums, better choices were probably never going to regenerate acres at scale. Basically, we were trying to change eating instead of changing farming. Changing farming is different. You know, you can't just walk into the grocery store and hand the cashier a buck for farmers to switch from chemical fertilizer to compost. You can't just ask the waiter for a side order of cover crop planting. You know, society didn't even really have mechanisms to directly change farming. But why not? You know, that's basically the kind of question we were grappling with as we closed the restaurant and then started our next chapter. It just became clear, like, oh, we need billions of dollars to change agriculture, not just a few people buying different ingredients.
And so Anthony pivoted away from farm to table to what he now calls table to farm, enlisting a collective of restaurants to tack on a small fee to the food they sell, which then adds up to sizable grants to regenerative farms.
So a business might send a dollar or a couple cents, and we collect funds like that and then work with farms and ranches to apply compost, plant cover crops, and basically just do the next practice on the next acre.
We have a pretty wide range of crops that we can grow.
Zero Footprint, as the organization is called, supports farmers like Veronica, Mazariegos, Anastasio.
Everything from your leafy greens, collards, cabbage, broccoli, and even your tomatoes, peppers, and potatoes.
And the techniques that Veronica and her team use to make their 40-acre farm in Central California sustainable, well, they're a lot of extra work compared to conventional farming.
Because you really are trying to mimic natural processes. So in the case of cover crops, usually it's a mix of bell beans, veg, peas. These are all nitrogen fixing. And really what we're trying to do is increase microbiota activity. And this really helps with increasing the nutritional density of our food, but also helps controls pests and disease. The goal is really investing in our soil, and that is a process that takes time. We're already operating on very slim margins, and therefore we are always looking for opportunities to be able to cover those costs.
Veronica says grants like the one she got from Zero Footprint allow her to plan for the future.
And so I do think it affords us a little bit more flexibility. Were it just up to us, we wouldn't be able to do.
In a minute, more about the table-to-farm movement and how restaurants and their customers are helping suppliers be more sustainable. On the show today, the Great Food Rescue. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, and you're listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR. We'll be right back. It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Manoush Zomorodi. On today's show, The Great Food Rescue. We were just talking to Anthony Mient, co-founder of the celebrated restaurant Mission Chinese Food and the nonprofit Zero Footprint. This group gives grants to regenerative farmers, farmers who are trying to make their land more sustainable and grow healthier food. Anthony calls this model Table to Farm, because the money for those grants comes directly from restaurants and their customers.
A business might send a dollar or a couple cents, and we collect funds like that and then work with farms and ranches to do the next practice on the next acre. It's just a new service that allows customers and businesses to directly and proactively change farming.
And Anthony says most people feel good about paying a little extra for an entree, or they don't even notice that their daily coffee costs a few cents more.
The best thing is citizens are just kind of going about their daily lives, you know, while the change is happening. And so Zero Footprint is trailblazing collective regeneration. We're using these same principles and then a few cents from the downstream food economy to make a direct shift in upstream agricultural production. Basically, we're improving the food grid. And so for an example of how this works, around the corner from Mission Chinese Food is an amazing coffee shop, Linnea Cafe. So they source from a really high-integrity grass-fed dairy company, Strauss Creamery. So you go in, you get your coffee, and instead of, say, $5, it's $5.05. So Zero Footprint collects the 5 cents, and then we make grants for compost application, cover crop planting, reduced tillage, managed grazing, planting perennials. And so it's like that 5 cents is decarbonizing the food shed. In the case of the coffee shop, it's actually kind of regenifying the supply chain because we've already made over $100,000 in grants to Strauss producers. And this kind of table-to-farm work is underway at dozens of businesses, wine companies, Michelin-starred restaurants, catering companies, composters, and even every Subway Sandwiches location in Boulder, Colorado. And if this was every Subway location, period, sending 1%, that'd be something like $160 million per year from just one corporation. Our goal is that collective regeneration becomes the new normal in hundreds of food sheds, supply chains, counties. But the real key is that it's what customers want. It's amazing marketing because it's real. It's local, direct, climate impact that's affordable. But it also adds up quickly. Zero Footprint has already awarded over $3 million in grants to 120 farm projects. But really, we're just getting started. But we've proven the concept on a process that's easy and transparent for farmers, but rigorous enough for government collaboration. Any farmer can request funds to begin or to advance their progress. And then Zero Footprint analyzes the requests and then selects the most cost-effective projects. Then we act as almost like a general contractor, taking the project from start to finish, working with local experts and boots on the ground to validate and coordinate each one. And the funds could come from anywhere. It could be a dollar per trash bill, a penny per pound, 1%, a grocery store roundup. But the difference is that we can use the funds and then just implement the projects now. So it's not just 2040 goals or whatever. That's really what used to frustrate me with, you know, governments and corporations. It seemed like they weren't taking the climate crisis seriously. But I've come to realize that they didn't really have a mechanism to team up and that nobody could do it alone. Governments can't raise taxes because it won't pass a vote. Corporations can't give away tons of profit because shareholders would sue. Farmers didn't have the resources to take on all these risks themselves. And customers didn't even have a way to vote effectively with their dollar. But now at a zero footprint business, you can.
When I was growing up, nobody used the word compost except for my weirdo parents who had one in the backyard. Is that something that, you know, is a bright spot when it comes to helping, connecting restaurants to farms and closing that loop as you described?
Yeah, I would make the case that compost is the most important regenerative practice. And the reason is because it resonates with people. You can kind of understand like, oh, I want to get those nutrients and that organic resource back to soil, you know, as if the food system was actually part of nature the way, you know, the rest of all growing on the planet works. Compost projects are like really, really climate beneficial, basically. There's avoided methane from the landfill, you know, from the organics not off-gassing in landfill. There's the potential for it to replace fertilizer. There's literally just the actual carbon that you're applying to the soil. And then oftentimes, if you apply compost enough or in enough, you know, like for a couple of years, then that kind of jumpstarts the soil biology. So for all those reasons, compost is one of the most cost-effective. With like New York City, it's happening through policy. So California just required composting starting a couple of years ago. Washington State just required it starting last year. And so there's this world in which like the government may not tell people how to farm, but the government is creating millions of tons of compost by law. And so if the economy can find a way to get it to farms and ranches, that would be like the low-hanging fruit, like biggest scalable opportunity.
Hmm. This episode is about food waste. And I think to many people, that might mean, you know, portions that are reasonable so that there's not a lot of leftovers, or making sure to check expiration dates. But in your world that you're creating, food waste is really tied to resources. How do you see it?
Yeah, and that's actually why it's so optimistic, is that like nature is so powerful that if we plant that seed with those couple cents or the little bit of organic matter going back, you know, nature can restore itself. And I think that there's like probably a half the regenerative movement or something does this because of that optimism. And, you know, for me anyway, I'll kind of quote my wife. It almost like sort of fills a little bit of a, you know, religious void for a secular person where like I feel like I'm actually working to save a little bit of the planet at a time. A dollar at a time, $1,000 at a time, an acre at a time, you know, one practice at a time. And then in a way, that's actually what each community is going to need in the medium term. If a community did this, they would have less of a problem at the next fire or flood or drought or whatever. And so I think that it's actually probably more locally beneficial than renewable energy. And so I'm optimistic that there will be transformative change soon.
That's Anthony Mient. He's the co-founder of the nonprofit Zero Footprint and the restaurant's Mission Chinese Food. You can watch his full talk at ted.npr.org.